This podcast is a ministry of Christian Life Center in Berwyn, Illinois. Our goal is to develop real faith for the real world. For more information, please go to www.berwynag.org.
If you have your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. If you don't have your Bible, then just let your neighbor punch you right in the arm right there. I'm just kidding. Not advocating violence here in the service. So, last week we talked about the crucial thing of overcoming and overcoming strongholds and how to address strongholds. We watched Jesus in the scripture, how he addressed the stronghold of the demon that had been with that child for quite a long time. And so, and we watched Jesus exorcise that demon and listen to the teaching that Jesus gave to that group of disciples that was there that could not cast that demon out. So today is sort of part two, kind of that. And I just want to talk, mostly tonight, I want to talk about the idea of overcoming the enemy. And if you're in Ephesians chapter 6, look in verse 10. That's where we're going to start. We're going to look at four things. These four things aren't original with me, for sure. But these four things that we find in the scripture here that will help us to examine the way that we confront demonic activity. By that, I don't mean that demons will be screaming out as your shadow passes over them on the way to the Subway sandwich place, although that could happen. But what I'm saying is that we confront demonic activity all the time in our lives. The demons of this world and the demons of hell are trying to undo us. And so we talked about that a little bit last week about how Satan hates you and has a plan for your life. And so we're going to see that confirmed here in the scripture. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So we're going to look at very quickly four things that will help you overcome the enemy. I think they all pop up when we hit the next thing, don't they? Oh, no, they don't. I guess not. Okay, so first one is to know your standing in Christ. You must know who you are in Jesus if you're going to survive any kind of conflict with the devil, temptation or a demonic attack or whatever it is, you're going to have to know that. So the very first thing is to know who you are in Christ. In order to know who you are now, you have to know who you were then. You were lost, according to Ephesians. You were lost and you were in the futility of your thinking. Your mind was darkened and you had to be enlightened by God. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, you became a new creation. All the old things have passed away, and behold, you are new. So what you once were was darkened and futile and empty, and you were a waste. You were estranged from God. You were God's enemy, not because you chose to be his enemy, but because of the things that you did put you at enmity with God. Those are all scriptural descriptions of what the life of a person without Jesus as their Lord of their life. That's a scriptural description of what they are. But God said he would give us new birth. And so what happens is when we come to Christ, we come into, and the temptation for me here today is to really over-explain this, and I don't want to do that. But what the Spirit of God does is it comes in and makes you a brand new creature. And so you die to those old things, and you are not what you once were. We will overcome, the song sang. It's a direct quote from the book of Revelation, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We will overcome because we know the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb did something in our own life. And so the first thing we have to do is we have to know who we are in Christ. And if we know who we are in Christ and what God has done in us, that will give us strength to be able to face the things that come against us. When the enemy comes against us, he tries to convince you that you are meaningless to God. Have you ever noticed that? God has forgotten you. He's forsaken you. He is a liar. He hasn't given you the things that you need in order to survive this trial that you're going through. In fact, he may be behind the trial. In fact, he may hate you so much, he wants to see you undone. These are all the lies that the enemy tells you. He speaks those things to your mind. You have to know who you are in Christ. If you have your Bible, you can keep your finger here in Ephesians, but turn back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. And I know many of you can quote this verse, but I think it's worthy for us to read it because it speaks something so positive to us. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, the second portion of the verse, it says this very simple but very profound truth: if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life and is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, in every trial and tribulation and every temptation and every negative thing that comes against you and every work of the enemy to try to undo your life, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When that is coursing through your veins and the enemy comes at you, he cannot get a foothold in your life. The temptation can, when that is the thing that your spiritual heart is pumping, that God is with me, he is for me, you cannot be beaten down. You cannot believe the lie because God's power is so real to you. You see, it's super important that we recognize this. The Bible tells us that we are able to face anything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is who you are. You are loved of God. You are a new creature. When I say you're a new creature, I mean you're not bound by all the junk that used to bind you. That you say, well, I still do some of that stuff. That's just because you don't know what God has done in you. You think it's small. You haven't even seen it. You ever like that show where they come in and they do the extreme home makeover? You know, I can't watch that because I get teared up. I tear up every time I see that. You know, it's always, you know, somebody who's in desperate straits and they come back from Disney World or wherever they were. And as they and the big bus is right there and it's the big unveil, the reveal of the house. And you know that the dump that they used to live in, you know what I'm talking about? It was mold and bats and all kinds of crazy stuff flying around your house. And then there's the big, and they know, these people are not stupid. They know that ABC, I think it's ABC, came in and with Sears, big promoter, and came in and grabbed a hold of them and sent them to Disney so that they could rebuild their entire house. They know it, right? No one is ever surprised going, oh, you did something to my house. They all know exactly. What happens when the bus is moved? What happens? Bus driver moved that bus, and the bus is moved, and suddenly they see way more than they could imagine, right? It's like they're overwhelmed to the point of shocked because they see what's really been done for them. Well, that's what the Bible talks to us about. Look at Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. This is an important passage of Scripture. Listen to verse 15, Ephesians 1:15. I got to be careful. For this reason, I ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and the incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. So Paul is praying that they'll have some kind of revelation, some kind of aha moment. He's not praying, God, give them power. He's not praying, God, show them. He's not praying, God, that they may have these things, that they may get saved. That's not what he's praying. He's praying, bus driver, move that bus, right? So that they will have the reveal. They will see what it is, that the eyes of their heart may be enlightened and they will know what's already been given to them. Okay, I can't go any further down that road. Second thing. First thing is, you have to know your standing in Christ. The second thing is, you have to know how to walk in the Holy Spirit. Every single believer in Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. That Spirit, according to John 16, is the Spirit of truth. Jesus says in the same book, the book of John, that the enemy, the devil, is a liar, and he speaks lies as his native language, and he will always lie to you, and the devil always lies to you with half-truths. For instance, the devil will say to you things like this: see how insensitive he is? He doesn't really even care. And you ladies go, yeah. Now that's two portions of that, okay? See how insensitive he is? He doesn't really care. The first part may be true. You may have married the big oaf, and he is insensitive. That may be true. But the enemy takes that half-truth and develops into, he doesn't really care. And then what happens? You give up hope on that relationship because you bought the fullness of the half-truth. Isn't that true? Isn't that how it works? Right? I got a couple other examples. God is perfect. Therefore, I need to act perfectly in order to honor him. That's a big lie from the devil. Because how many of you are able to act perfectly? Not a single one of us. So you have immediately set yourself up for failure by believing the whole lie when really only half of it was true. God is perfect. That's the true part. I have to honor him by being perfect sets you up for a lifetime of frustration trying to be perfect and never achieving and always being frustrated. And then being bitter at how good God is. Isn't that amazing? That what the devil can do is take the goodness of God and turn it against us so that eventually we resent God for being perfect, good, and holy because we can't live up to that because we believed a lie. And I know a lot of people who get religious spirits and think that they need to be perfect. You ain't never, ever going to be perfect. Never, not a single one of us. Oh, I got to keep moving. You've been delivered while other people struggle. You deserve deliverance because you've been so obedient to God. This is the root of the religious spirit, isn't it? The truth is, you've been delivered. Glory to God. We just sang praises to God for our deliverance. But the other side of that is to begin to think, because every one of us has this thought, right? How come I'm living the victory, but they're not? They must have hidden sin in their life. They must be disobedient. Whereas I have been evidently obedient enough to find victory in my life. Therefore, I begin to walk around buying this lie, thinking that somehow I'm okay, I'm good enough, and then what's the next thing? I begin to look down at all those suckers who can't find freedom in Jesus because they aren't as obedient for me. And then I start saying the thing to people like, well, if you just had faith. Right? You see, the enemy then turns redemption, God's love, God's holiness, and all the things that God does, turns that against us. If we know how to walk in the spirit of truth, we'll be able to discern what's true and what's false. So sometimes people will come to you and they'll say to you, this is, they'll give you a bunch of information. And you have to discern that. No one else can be the discerner for you. You must discern it yourself. You have to learn to walk in the Holy Spirit and say, that is true and that is not. And by the way, God will never contradict with his revealed word. You know, we get the subjective word of God. You know, the God speaks to us, but he will never contradict his revealed word. So you don't have to, that God just put, those are the guardrails on the highway. That keeps you from plummeting off the cliff. But there are the revealed words of God that God speaks to you. Those revealed words that God puts in your mind, that's the spirit of truth speaking to you about the circumstances that you're in, the things that you're facing. In fact, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. So this is a part of what the walking in the Spirit means, to say, is that of God or is that not of God? You know, there's real guilt and there's false guilt. Real guilt is stuff that you did. False guilt is the guilt that lingers after you repent. You know what I'm talking about? You still feel bad you did it, but you've taken care of it. I stole a dollar out of Seth's wallet. I confessed that to God. And I confessed it to Seth. I even made retribution, paid him the dollar back, and now I'm okay. But if every time I see him, I feel bad, that's not real guilt. Because he said he forgave me. Now, that's totally not true. If anything, the money flows the other direction. You understand that. You understand what I'm saying here. So, presenting your... Although he did buy me an ice cream cone last night, so... Yeah, that's right. Yeah, like I need an ice cream cone. Okay, so... He's just trying to get his inheritance early. So, walking in the Spirit's power means that we have to then just keep pushing forward and listening to the Spirit of truth as it reveals itself. Presenting ourselves for daily empowerment. You don't have enough. You didn't get enough Sunday to make it through today. You don't get enough on Sunday and Wednesday night to make it through the week. You have to every day go to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, give me the power that you're revealing to me from Ephesians chapter 1, this power that's so great, this incredibly great power that's at work within me. Show me that power. Give me that power today. I present myself anew and afresh for power. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to be empowered. And I have to, in addition to that, receive also the character and the fruit of the Spirit empowering me so that not only do I know who I am in Christ, but now I recognize and I'm encouraged and my conscience is encouraged because I'm becoming more and more like Jesus as I listen to the Holy Spirit more and more in my life. So now I need to know who my standing in Christ. I need to walk and I need to know the Spirit's power and walk in the Spirit's power, and I need to know the power of the cross. Look back in Ephesians chapter 6, and these are the verses that we're looking at. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. See, you notice that word schemes, that word is plans. The devil has plans for you. So you have to take, when he comes, he doesn't just start throwing stuff. He has a plan. He's going to take you down by tempting you in this way or inciting you to sin in this way or working on your flesh in this way. He's got a plan. So he says here, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and powers and authorities and the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. By the way, the need in Honduras is not rice and beans. The need in the United States is not for a better government or health care or that's not the need. The need is a spiritual need every place we go. The spiritual manifestation of that may be rice and beans. You know, we have to love. You know, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. That's what it says in Galatians, right? We talked about that recently. So love may carry rice and beans with it everywhere it goes. But if that's all we give is rice and beans, you can burn through rice and beans pretty quick. You know, so you have to have spiritual power behind that. So even though, and God knows I love rice and beans, but even though we have to have those things, we still have to have the power of the Spirit. Let us not become people who shrink the gospel into just doing these good works. The good works must be empowered by the Spirit, and they must be for the purpose of spreading the gospel. I'm not rebuking anybody. I don't want anybody to think I'm rebuking. I just want us, this is just a reminder, that this is the Spirit's power that we're at work for. We're trying to get this. The third thing is we have to know the power of the cross. And so this whole armament of God has to come, because the needs that present themselves are needs that come against us by spiritual powers. It's spiritual deception that makes people walk through India starving while the cow that they worship wanders the street. That's a spiritual deception. There are hundreds of pounds of hamburger walking just an arm's reach away from them, and they're starving, but there's a hamburger on four hooves walking by. But it's the spirit of deception. You understand what I'm saying? That happens all across the globe. Somebody says, oh, well, your religion is good. My religion is real good because it lets me eat hamburgers. It doesn't force you to eat them if you don't want to eat them, but it lets me eat hamburgers. I love hamburgers. It sets people free. God wants to bless people. It's not just governments. They can be treacherous, but it's not just governments. It's spiritual powers that keep people broke as a joke and entrapped and impoverished, because as long as they're like that, they struggle to seek after God. And they can't help anyone else. If the only beans and rice you have is the beans and rice you're going to eat, you can't give beans and rice away. But when God begins to prosper and you have enough beans and rice for you, you can give beans and rice to your neighbor in the name of Jesus. And that's the purpose, that's the purpose that God has for people. Okay, so we have to know the power of the cross. I keep coming back to this third thing. The third thing is we have to know the power of the cross. And look at what the apostle writes here, verse 13. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand. We understand that the armor of God is what enables us to stand against the devil's schemes. It's the thing that keeps us, gives us the ability to stand against the devil's plans for us. And it is the thing that gives us the ability to stand while we're under attack, to hold our ground and to maintain what we have already received. And so look here, he says, stand firm then with the belt of truth, verse 14, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Take up the shield of faith, extinguish the arrows, the flaming arrows of the evil one, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This armament that God has, this all comes to you at the cross. It's all been given to you at the cross. Salvation, righteousness, truth, all these things have been given to you at the cross. You say, well, if they've been given to me at the cross, we have to recognize that God has given us these things and have to fit ourselves for these things. But we recognize this is the power of the cross. So when I come against demonic activity, I have to know who I am in Christ. And then I have to have the Holy Spirit working in me. I have to be walking in the Holy Spirit so I can address those issues that are facing me. And I'm talking about temptation or anything. It doesn't have to be, you know, demoniac or some kind of a demon possession. I'm talking about just simple things. If you're walking the power of the Spirit, and then know the cross. Know what the cross gave you. The enemy will come immediately and tell you, you're not right. You're not righteous. And you aren't right unless you recognize it came to you from the cross. So knowing, and this is sort of heady, you know, knowledge-based. This is Bible-based. This is not feeling-based. This is knowing that I'm righteous before God. See, that's how, let's even take that a little further. Knowing that I'm as righteous as Christ. Think about that for a second. I am as righteous as Christ when I go in the name of Jesus to cast a demon out. Because that is the breastplate of righteousness protecting my vitals. Not my righteousness. Goodness, I'm not righteous. The righteousness I have has been imputed to me. So this third aspect is to recognize that I have been made righteous, that I am walking in truth, that I have the helmet of salvation. Salvation has been given to me, and it protects my cranium, my brain, my mind. And so as I'm working that, as I'm moving in that direction, working against the enemy, he's going to come and say, you're crazy. This isn't real. Right? How many of you have ever confronted demonic powers before? Raise your hand. As if, there's a bunch of us. Okay, so you know, one of the things he says to you right away is, you're not worthy. You're not righteous. You don't have, why would God listen to you? It's all a mind game. You understand? It's all a mind game. So you have to be confident in the power of the cross. And then ultimately, I'm just skimming across the top of this. Ultimately, then you have to come to the very last verse, praying with all kinds of prayers. With every kind of prayer. These four things, these four aspects of this life is what the apostle is prescribing in confronting demonic activity, these powers and authorities, these. And so we need to recognize Ephesians or Colossians 2:15, you need to look that up and see what it is that God did on the cross. But on the cross, he nailed every offense of yours to the cross with Jesus. And in so doing, he cut off the power of the enemy against you. He made you so that the enemy cannot overcome you. Look, go ahead, you can look there, Colossians 2:15. He made you so that you have the ability to fight against the enemy. He cannot overcome you. In fact, I think I typed it out. He forgave us all our sins. He canceled the written code, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the powers and authorities when it comes to you. He disarmed the powers and authorities. And he made a spectacle of them by triumphing over them by the cross. So in these things, we recognize that these are the things that he did. Knowing now that's where we stand, knowing that's what the cross did, then it gives us the ability to pray. So the fourth thing is that we need to pray with every kind of prayer that we can pray. Does that mean when it says pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, does that mean tongues? It certainly includes tongues. It means pray in every prayer, every supplication, every intercession, every adoration, every confession of sin, every thanksgiving, every adoration of God. Every prayer, pray every prayer. Just keep on praying prayer. Pray without ceasing. Pray, take a break. Just whatever kind of prayer you can pray, pray those kinds of prayer. In other words, if you're coming against the enemy, and the enemy has a plan for all of our lives, so he's still trying to deceive all of us. If we're coming against the enemy, we have to be willing to walk in the spirit of prayer and to manifest the spirit of prayer in our own life. No one can do that. That's all these have been sort of heady things. Know where you've been and walk in the power of the Spirit. That's a behavioral thing. And then know what the power of the cross is and receive that unto yourself. Say that's mine. That righteousness is mine. That truth is mine. And now this thing is now another behavioral thing is being praying. So now this is not heady. This is just practical. Pray. Be praying. And yet, this is something that Christians struggle with over and over and over and over again. But this is key to us getting victory over the enemy. He wants to kill your children. He wants to ruin your business. He wants to destroy your church. He wants to tear down your ministry. You say, how can you say that? You don't even know me. I know him. I don't have to know you. I know him. I know what he wants. You and I have to be people who know how to pray with every kind of prayer.
Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope you were blessed by it. If there's a way we can help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, we'd love to do that. You can contact us at www.berwinag.org. God bless you.